Okay, church, let's pray together. Lord God, by your Holy Spirit, teach us to obey your very voice and keep your covenant so that we may be a priestly kingdom, your holy people. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen. Today, we'll be hearing from three different passages of Holy Scripture, and I would like to encourage you to follow along in your Holy Bible. And as we come to each passage of Holy Scripture, I want to remind you that these are the very words of God. We'll first read from the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and made it holy. Now, let's turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 5, verses 12 through 15. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock, or the sojourner which is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. And finally, let's turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 58, verses 13 and 14. If you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, or seeking your own pleasure, or talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Brothers, sisters, and friends, these are the very words of God. Thanks be to God. God does not need to explain himself. He is God. He could have simply thundered the words, worship and rest, from the mountain and left it right there, and we would have no standing to ask why. He owes us no footnotes. And yet, here is something tender and astonishing. He stoops down with this one commandment and gives us not one great reason, but two great reasons. As if the Father knelt to the level of his stubborn children and said, "Let me tell you why. Let me tell you twice. If you want to understand the fourth commandment, you have to grasp its two great reasons. Because in them, God is telling you something about who God is and who you are meant to be. The first reason is found in Exodus chapter 20. Listen. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. For 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the seventh day and made it holy." Do you hear the reason? Creation. God anchors the day and the very rhythm of how he made the world. 6 days of labor, then a seventh day set apart, blessed, and made holy. Because that is the heartbeat written into the cosmos itself by the one who built it. But I want you to notice what God actually does on that seventh day, because we read past it too quickly. We assume he rested because he was tired. If the Almighty needed a nap after a hard week, nonsense. He does not grow weary. No. Go back to Genesis and watch him. At the very end of each day, he stops, looks at what he has made, and pronounces it good. At the very end, he looks at it all together and says, "It's very good." The seventh day is when God gazes out over the beauty of his creation and delights in it. God is not collapsing in exhaustion. He's savoring creation. He's enjoying it. And the commandment invites you and me into that same divine posture to learn one day a week to simply delight in the things God created, what God made, and in God himself, and in his many, many graces and gifts. The question the image leaves hanging in the air, though, is uncomfortable. Do we? Do we ever, ever take time to delight in anything at all? Do we delight in God? Do we delight in his graces and gifts? Do we delight in the greatest gift God gives to his people, himself? If you want to relearn that lost art, spend a Saturday morning with a very small child. I am convinced this is one of the secret reasons God fills the world with them. Watch a toddler walk outside in the springtime. Their eyes are so much closer to the ground than ours, so they see everything that we have trained ourselves to ignore. The first green sprouts pushing up through the dirt, the dew on a leaf, a beetle marching across the sidewalk. And they are filled with wonder and awe. The child crouches and stares at a bug as if it were the eighth wonder of the world, while you and I are already three steps ahead, looking at our phones, calculating the schedule, hunting for our keys. The child sees a creeping insect and whispers, "Wow, I see the same bug and I reach for something to squash it. There's a parable in that somewhere. But there's also a command in it. Unless you turn and become like children, Jesus said, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 18:3. We tend to read that verse as a call to humility, and it is. But it is also about wonder. The child has time. The child is in no hurry to be anywhere. The child has not yet been crushed under the millstone of efficiency that grinds the awe out of grown men and grown women. To enter the kingdom, you must recover the eyes of a child who can stop on the sidewalk and be undone by the single goodness of a single growing thing. The Sabbath is God's school of wonder. And most of us have been playing hooky for years. Here is why that childlike wonder is no small thing. It is a road that leads straight to the throne of God. Beauty awakens the soul to awe. And awe leads the soul to God. When you finally stop long enough to see something truly beautiful, a sky on fire at dusk, a field of stars, a piece of music that reaches into your chest and gives you a hug, the response that rises up sooner or later is a question. Who made this? Who did that? You hear strings played over a wooden box, and somehow it brings tears to your eyes. You cannot explain why, except that it has touched eternal in you. God gave you 5 senses, my friends, not to be assaulted all day by noise, glare, and hurry, but to taste and see that the Lord is good. The Sabbath returns your Sabbaths to the proper purpose, to be windows of worship. A week with no beauty in it is a week with windows painted shut. Friends, God's creation provides the first great reason for the fourth commandment. Now, there is another great reason found in the book of Deuteronomy. When Moses repeats the commandment to the next generation, God gives another reason for the fourth commandment. And that second reason is breathtaking. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Do you hear it? The first great reason was creation. The second great reason is liberation. Liberation. Keep the day, God says, because you were slaves, and I set you free. You were ground down under the lash of taskmasters who measured your worth in bricks, and I reached down with my own arm and broke your chains. Now, rest. And let your rest declare to the whole world that you are no longer a slave. Notice the breathtaking generosity that follows that. The commandment in Deuteronomy exists that the rest is not only for you, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it, you shall not do any work. You, or your son, or your daughter, or your male servant, or your female servant, or your ox, or your donkey, or any of your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. Your rest must overflow to everyone under your authority and around you. Why? You shall remember that you were a slave. A people once oppressed have no business becoming oppressors. The God who liberated you forbids you from turning around and grinding down the people who work for you or surround you. So this day, the Sabbath day, Sunday, is meant to roll downhill from God to you, from you to your household, from your household to the stranger, and even to the animals, and to those who would serve you. That is the gospel embedded in the law. Free people set others free. Pause on that, my friends, because it is profoundly missional. In the ancient world, no one gave a slave a day off. No one wrote rest for the foreigner and the laborer into a nation's founding laws. It was unheard of. And here, Israel and us, fresh out of the brickyard, being handed a law that protects the weakest in the household and even the beasts of burden. The Sabbath was God's ancient declaration that a person's dignity is not measured by usefulness, that the servant and the stranger are not machines, but image bearers who need rest as much as their masters do. When the people of God kept this day rightly, the watching world sees a community where no one is reduced to a tool, where even the lowliest is honored with rest. That right there is a witness. That is good news with skin on it. God, our gracious Father, gives us two excellent reasons for the Sabbath and for us to obey it: creation and liberation. And you must not miss how both reasons for the Sabbath, creation and liberation, come crashing together to find their fulfillment in one event: the resurrection of Jesus Christ. On the first Easter morning, God did not merely rest from creation. He began a new creation, raising his Son in a body death could not touch. And from that very event, he did not merely free a nation from Pharaoh. He freed his people from sin, death, Satan, and hell, and the grave. Every reason God ever gave for the Sabbath, creation and liberation, reaches its fulfillment in the day Jesus walked out of the tomb. Which is exactly why, from the very first generation of Christians, his followers gathered to worship not on the old seventh day, Saturday, but on the first day of the week, the day of the resurrection, the Lord's Day, Sunday, the new Sabbath. But that glorious story is for another sermon. For now, hold on to this. The Sabbath day was always the pointing forward to a Savior who would both be our Creator and our Liberator. Before we go any further, hear the promise God ties to this Sabbath day. We have made the Sabbath sound like a burden, yet God meant it as a banquet. Isaiah writes it down for us. If you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. There it is. Call the Sabbath a delight, not a chore, not a wasted afternoon where no money is being made, a delight. The attached promise is staggering. If you honor his day, he will lift you up to rise on the heights. In other words, when you stop clutching and start trusting, when you say with your actions that everything that you have and everything that you are is a gift from his hand, God delights to bless that surrender. Here's the lie that we have swallowed whole, though, that this is one of those days when I can't work and therefore cannot make money and therefore the whole thing is a waste. Do you feel the grip of that thinking? It assumes that I am the author of my own provision, that everything that I have is a product of my own striving, grinding, and clever hustle. And the moment I believe that, I set myself up for a catastrophic crash because it is simply not true and prideful. I did not earn my next heartbeat. I cannot guarantee tomorrow. Everything I have and everything that I am is a gift. And the day of rest, the Sabbath, is God's weekly merciful intervention to pry my white knuckled fingers off the controls and remind me who is actually running the whole universe. Hint, it has never once been me, and it has never once been you. I'll confess my own foolishness here, because I suspect I am not alone. My wife once told me to take a whole weekend and just relax. Just relax. So I did what any reasonable person would do. I built a spreadsheet, color-coded, time-blocked, categories for rest activities, leisure, and spontaneous fun, scheduled in at 30-minute increments. I presented it to my wife with some pride. She looked at it for a long moment and said, "You have turned resting into a project." Friends, she is correct. That is exactly what we do. We are so addicted to productivity that we will industrialize our Sabbath if no one stops us. We do not know how to play. We have to be taught all over again, like children. Let me share a picture that has stayed with me for years from a wise old Christian writer and pastor reflecting on the wonder of children. He noticed that little ones love repetition with a fierce, exhausting love. Do it again. Do it again. Do it again. Long after the grown-up's arms have given out. Fathers, how often have we heard that? Do it again. And that Christian writer wondered whether that childlike appetite for sameness, far from being childish, might be the most divine thing about them. Perhaps, he mused, God has the eternal appetite of a child. Perhaps it is not that the sun rises by some tired mechanical law, but that God makes it rise every single morning out of sheer, undiminished delight, saying to the sun each dawn, "Do it again. Do it again." perhaps. Every daisy is made separately because he has never once grown bored with daisies. We grow old and weary because our delight runs dry. God never grows old or weary because his delight never does. And the Sabbath is your weekly invitation to come and drink from his delight, to spend time in his delight, to spend time with him and receive him. Do you see what that means for your tired, overscheduled, joyless week? The God who commands you to rest is not a stern foreman docking your pay for a missed shift. He is the Father with the eternal appetite of a child, leaning over heaven's railing, watching you crouch on the sidewalk of your life to wonder at a single growing thing, whispering, "Yes, that. Do it again." He made the wine, the sunset, and the laughter of friends around a table. And he commands you, at least one day in seven, on the Sabbath, on Sunday, to stop manufacturing your own significance long enough to receive his gifts and his fatherly love with the open hands of a child. So let me bring this home in two ways. The fourth commandment can change you this week. First, learn to delight again. This week, do not merely rest from work. Practice wonder on purpose. Take one thing that God has made and truly receive it. Sit on the porch and watch the sun go down without reaching for your phone. Facebook or Instagram can do without another photo of a sunset every once in a while. Eat a meal slowly and savor it. Listen to a child laugh and do not rush them along without making others work. Do something fun on the Sabbath. Go out and play. Let your delight in the gift become worship of the giver, because that is precisely what the seventh day is for. God gazed at his creation and called it very good. This week, and every single Sabbath, take time to agree with him. Second, remember that you are a slave. Root your rest in the gospel, not in your performance. You do not rest to earn anything. You rest because you have already been set free by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Not from Egypt, but from sin and death and Satan and hell and the grave, by the blood of Jesus Christ. So lay down the crushing belief that everything depends on your striving, and let that freedom overflow. Give the people under your roof, under your authority, and around you their rest as well. Free people, people freed by God, are meant to set others free. For these reasons, as much as humanly possible, don't do anything on the Sabbath that encourages or forces others to work. Go to the restaurant or the video, the movie, another day, not on Sunday. And there are many excuses for that, but they're not very good. Except for those who sacrifice for society's good, police, fire, emergency, military, medical, and farmers, most essential work, etc. And if you do that, thank you for your service. But for everyone else, don't make or encourage others to work on the Sabbath, on Sunday. God freed you. Let others be free too. Friends, brothers and sisters, worship God and enjoy the Sabbath. Rest and play on the Sabbath. Yes, You can play on the Sabbath. But then, let others do the same. Keep the Sabbath day holy. Keep Sunday holy. And in doing so, you will rightly love God and love your neighbor. So stop clutching, start trusting, and you will find that the God who broke your chains has been waiting all along to make you ride on the heights. So, which will it be? One, you can spend your one wild life with white-knuckled fists clutching control that you never had, manufacturing significance that was always a gift. You can keep grinding, keep hustling, keep proving you are not a slave by working like one or encouraging and forcing others to do the same. Friends, the taskmaster is dead, but you keep showing up at the brickyard out of habit. Or two, you can lay it all down. Once a week, stop. Unclench. Crouch on the sidewalk of your hurried life and let a single growing thing undo you. Eat slowly. Laugh long. Set free everyone under your roof and around you. And then listen. Beneath the silence you have been so afraid of, for the voice of a father with the eternal appetite of a child, the one who made you, the one who bought you back with blood, he is leaning over heaven railing right now, watching you, finally able to rest, to enjoy the day, to worship him and receive him. And he delights in you doing just that, whispering over your one repeated, ordinary, yet beautiful life. Yes, that, the Sabbath. Do it again. Do it again. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thank you that you are the God who has created us. Thank you that you are the God who has liberated us. And in fact, Lord, you know us more than we know ourselves. And you know, Lord, that we and they need rest, that we need joy, that we need play, that we need our connection with you. And Lord, I ask that you would give that to us, that you would help us to experience that again and again and again, and that, Lord, we would grow in an appetite of a child who loves that sameness. Lord, we are grateful that you have built this into creation itself. And we are grateful, Lord, that when we have moved from that you are our liberator, that you free us and you bring us back. Lord, you have freed us. Help us free others. Help us to keep this day, this holy day, just what it is, a day that is meant for holiness, for you, a day for rest, a day for play, a day for family, a day for friends, a day for laughter around the table, a day to enjoy your creation. Lord, help us to be children again, enjoying this day how you desire. Pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.